Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, March 6th, 2018, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. Our next Starseed Quest to Arkansas is for Pleiadian lineup on May 18th through the 21st. All you need to have is at least one galactic star marking on your astrological chart at 25, 26, or 27 degrees of any sign. This is a soul group reunion in the crystal capital of the world, designed to enable a catalyst for starseed empowerment to higher frequencies. We've redesigned this event to be much more affordable than the previous gatherings, so if this sounds like what you've been looking for, just write to Crystals, that's plural, C-R-Y-S-T-A-L-S, at starseedhotline.com for more details. And we'll be in Arkansas for the March quest for the next two Tuesdays, so our next show after tonight will be March 27th. Our special guest this evening is Lightstar, who is a pioneering, internationally acclaimed, high-frequency attunement artist, celestial channel, and starseed ambassador. She's passionately committed to guiding lightworkers, starseeds, and spiritual seekers to reconnect with the multidimensionality of their soul. Serving as a spiritual catalyst for others to discover their soul gifts, reconnect to higher guidance, and activate their destiny path is a passion for Lightstar. She speaks over 20 different languages of light, which transmit and activate soul memories and healing codes. Infused with sacred color rays and light codes, her groundbreaking cosmic and visionary artwork transmit pure divine inspiration. Lightstar is also the author, artist, and creator of the world-renowned Magical Dimensions Oracle Cards and Activators, which innovatively delivers a tangible, intuitive strengthening tool for self-transformation, self-illumination, and self-healing. Lightstar is a frequently published author in the Sedona Journal of Emergence and has been a favorite guest on multiple international radio shows. Lightstar is also the co-founder of Starseed Alliance International, which serves as a galactic resource aimed at uniting and activating starseeds globally. And you can check out her websites at lightstarcreations.com and starseedallianceinternational.com. At the top of the show, it's Anastasia's Starseed News, bringing topics of interest to starseeds that you won't hear in the mainstream. And we'd like to thank Jada, Fiona, and Kathy for hosting the switchboard tonight for those who may have a question or comment for our guest. We have an online Starseed community at starseedhotline.ning.com, and it's a safe place to connect with other Starseeds, thanks to Tammy's dedication and help with our forum. You can download our shows on iTunes or right here on Blog Talk. And if you'd like to show your support of our program, please click follow on our page here at Blog Talk, and you'll get our weekly show notices. The toll-free number for starseedhotline.com is 888-881-0881. The Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings in your natal astrological chart, and the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone session available with Lavendar, Anastasia, or myself. And for those who need healing of any kind, emotional, physical, or spiritual, for yourself or your pets, Tammy's powerful remote sessions will make a difference for you. And if you have a birthday coming up, you don't want to miss out on your 10 hours of power. You can find out when that happens by requesting your solar return timing. And please remember, if you want the Stage 2 interpretation of that chart, you'll need to order it at least 3 months ahead of time to make sure you get it in before your 10 hours. So, first of all, tonight I would like to introduce Anastasia with her wonderful Starseed News. Hey,
good evening, Ariel. Hi. Good evening, everybody. Great to be with you. We have a solar storm underway. There's a solar wind incoming. A stream of solar wind is expected to brush Earth's magnetic field tomorrow, on the 8th of March, day after tomorrow. The gaseous material right now is flowing from a northern hole in the sun's atmosphere. and there is a worsening cosmic ray situation according to some new research. They say that cosmic rays are getting worse. The new paper was published in the research journal Space Weather. The authors of this paper show that radiation from deep space is dangerous and intensifying faster than previously predicted. Now, 4 years ago, the researchers began their discovery that cosmic rays in the Earth-Moon system were peaking at levels never before seen in the space age. The worsening radiation environment, they're pointing out, was a potential peril to astronauts, curtailing how long astronauts could safely travel through space. Now, in the 1990s, an astronaut could spend 1,000 days in interplanetary space, but in 2014, it's cut back to 700 days, 300 days difference. They say that's quite a bit in such a short period of time. Now, galactic cosmic rays come from outside the solar system. They are a mixture of high-energy photons and subatomic particles accelerated toward Earth by supernova explosions and other violent events in the cosmos. Now, our first line of defense is the sun. The sun's magnetic field and solar wind combine to create a porous shield that fends off cosmic rays that attempt to enter our solar system. The shielding action of the sun is strongest during the solar maximum and weakest during solar minimum. Hence, the 11-year rhythm of the mission duration that they're talking about right now, with the minimum being underway. They say that the problem, according to the authors, is that the shield is weakening. Over the last decade, the solar wind has exhibited low densities and a magnetic field strengths, and this represents anomalous states that have never before been observed in recent years. As a result of this, what they call remarkably weak solar activity, we are having and experiencing now the highest fluxes of cosmic rays. Now, they say that there has been a 13% increase in radiation, that's X-rays and gamma rays, that's penetrating Earth's atmosphere. They say that how does this affect us? Well, cosmic rays penetrate commercial airlines. They dose passengers and flight crews enough that pilots are classified by the International Commission on Radiological Protection as occupational radiation workers. Wow. And some research shows that cosmic rays can seed clouds and trigger lightning, potentially altering weather and climate. And I can tell you, in researching the news every week, we have definitely had a major increase in lightning across the planet. That's really been a big deal. A lot more people killed by lightning than ever before since we've started having records that we could read and share. And furthermore, they say that there are studies that link cosmic rays with cardiac arrhythmias in the general population. Now, they say that cosmic rays are going to intensify even more in the coming years as the sun plunges toward what may be the deepest solar minimum in more than a century. So a consideration for those that fly at high altitudes and so on and so forth. And I certainly know a lot of people that are having cardiac arrhythmias, a lot of clients, and people are complaining about that. And one would wonder, cosmic rays as well as electronic smog have something to do with that, but perhaps cosmic rays have a part in that. Well, a second tornado in a week has hit Fargo, Portugal. Who would think about Portugal getting hit by a tornado, but it happened. This little town was plunged back here. This little area was plunged back into chaos this Sunday. It was just 4 days after being hit by similar extreme weather. This time, the column of wind reached 180 kilometers per hour, uprooted trees, destroyed cars, took down walls and buildings. People were in panic. They ran out of their homes. People thought maybe it was a terrorist attack because they heard something that sounded like gunshots. That was from the splitting of window frames and the breaking of glass. People were really, really frightened. There were about 50 incidents of destroyed properties. The tornado then went on to affect other areas in Portugal, and so that was quite the event there. And in Peru, we have something very strange going on. It's not just in Peru. It's happening in different places all over the world. But these are monster cracks in the ground that have occurred after heavy rains that destroyed over 100 buildings in Cusco. They say that more than 30 hectares of earth moved as the ground was torn apart in Peru following a heavy rainfall and ensuing landslide that destroyed more than 100 houses, a school, and a hospital. Now, over the past 10 days, more than 30 hectares of earth moved as the ground was torn apart in the south of the country. Now, there is footage that shows these chasms, and I'll tell you what, it's not just one crack. It is a spider web of splits in the ground going in all directions. The government has declared a state of emergency. They expect that to last at least 60 days. They're trying to bring help to displaced people. There's been no personal damages, but homes have been flattened. They say that they're going to try to evacuate people from the entire area and carry out evaluations of the tectonic plates there around Cusco. Now, last month, a powerful 7.1 earthquake struck off the coast of Peru, killing one person and leaving dozens of people injured. Just from that quake, they were left without electricity. There were houses destroyed. Then there was rain and mudslides, and now this wild thing happening with the ground. And these are huge, enormous cracks. And I bring you that story in part because the same thing is occurring in Saudi Arabia right now. Giant cracks actually are opening all around the world. But in Saudi Arabia, they discovered a crack just a few days ago, I think. See, end of February, so that's not that far back. It's an unexplained geological event. They say it split the earth in two, which is somewhat of an exaggeration. But this crack spans over 200 meters in the desert of Saudi Arabia, and the crack is still growing. Now, geologists are currently investigating this fissure that extends over 200 meters, as I've said, and they say that it probably appeared after heavy rain. The photographs of this are awesome. It shows people standing at the edge of these cracks, and they're dwarfed by them. It really is wild, weird stuff. The earth is moving beneath people's feet. There's not much any modern invention or thing that we can do about that. This is planet Earth doing her thing, and it is a reminder that we do not control nature. Well, Papua New Guinea was also struck again by another 6.7 magnitude quake that comes 9 days after that 7.5 tremor that happened late last month. The trembler struck at a depth of about 20 miles and struck just about 20 miles southwest of that big earthquake that killed 67 people. Now, they don't know if the latest earthquake is an aftershock, and they don't know yet about how many injuries or damages that was done that occurred from that. They don't expect a tsunami to be generated from this quake. But they say that 150,000 people were in need of aid following the last earthquake, and so people are still in trauma after that. And then this happened. Well, we have an asteroid passing by. That is coming tomorrow. And it's an asteroid that's bigger than the Golden Gate Bridge, and it's coming at breakneck speed. I was checking the charts on this one, and yes, it is bigger than most of the asteroids that pass by Earth, and it is moving really, really, really fast. Astronomers have been following this asteroid 2017 VR12 since it was detected last November. They're saying it's an enormous space rock and it will shave past our planet in the early hours of tomorrow morning. It measures over 1,500 feet in diameter and it's traveling at 14,000 miles per hour. Now, that's coming fairly close, but it's not too close. It's going to pass by us at 3.8 lunar distances. But what has everybody's attention is the fact that it's so large and it's moving so fast. So it's got their attention. In Japan, the Shimodaki volcano has exploded again. Now, this volcano was featured in the 1967 James Bond movie, You Only Live Twice. And it has been shooting smoke and ash thousands of meters into the sky today. It's caused cancellation of flights to and from nearby airports. And they say this eruption is likely to continue for some time. That's the first time in 7 years that this volcano has demonstrated explosive activity. There have been no injuries, but they have extended their alerts. And in our science section, something called biostasis. We see this a lot in sci-fi movies. They'll show astronauts traveling through long distances of space, coming out of their biofreeze containers, so we tend to think of that as sci-fi, but DARPA is planning on doing something like this, not for space travel, but to freeze injured soldiers on the battlefield. They want to buy some extra time for battlefield injuries, because often medical troops can't get there fast enough. So what scientists want to do is to slow down time, and in a program from DARPA's agency, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, they aim to find a way to slow down the body's biochemical reaction and create a suspended state until medical care is available for the soldiers. They're calling the program biostasis, and they want to slow down life in order to save life, according to DARPA. Now, how are they going to do this? Well, they are studying other life forms on this planet that have evolved ways to stay alive in what would be otherwise impossible environments. And these life forms are called tardigrades. They are microscopic creatures that are also known as water bears. And I've heard about water bears. Maybe many of you have too. Tardigrades survive freezing, dehydration, and extreme radiation. How do they do this? They go into a suspended state called cryptobiosis. And in that state, all of their metabolic processes appear to stop, and the organisms are yet alive. Well, that is just their biological and evolutionary way of surviving. And DARPA considers that if they can imitate what tardigrades do, that we can invent a treatment that will be successful to slow down all biological functions, as long as it doesn't damage our cellular processes when the body returns to its active state. And they're saying that technologies developed through the biostasis program could also be used to extend the shelf life of blood products or biological reagents and drugs and so on. So they're working on it. They say it'll be a few years before they come up with a method, but biostasis, no longer sci-fi, it's in the works to actually become a way to keep people alive in suspension. That is wild.
Wow.
It gets crazier and crazier. They'll figure it out. Well, in our high strangeness section, Mothman-like entity was seen near a truck stop on the Illinois-Wisconsin border. An eyewitness reported to the UFO clearinghouse seeing a Mothman-like being on his way home in night, and I'm going to read to you what he said. This is what he says, eyewitness statement. He said, "I was driving home on 94, Interstate 94, and I was headed back home. I pulled into the truck stop to get something to drink and something to eat on my way home. It was about 11:30 p.m. when I left the store, got in my car, and as I was pulling out of the parking lot to get onto the interstate, I noticed what looks like a large person standing to the side of the road. Well, this thing looks right at me with very bright red eyes, and then it opened a huge pair of wings and started to fly off like some kind of big bat." The whole expletive omitted thing, that whole darn thing, took less than 5 seconds, but I know what I saw, and it looked like a giant skinny man with a large pair of wings and red eyes. And these Mothman sightings have been occurring frequently over the states, throughout the United States, in the last number of months. There has been a rash of them. So here's yet another one. This is wild stuff. And all of you who follow these kinds of events will be interested to know that. You can go to the UFO Clearinghouse and find out more about it, or check on the internet. You'll find it. But what a story. And I have a quote for you tonight before we go away. Do the difficult things while they are easy, and do the great things while they are small. A journey of 1,000 miles must begin with a single step. Lao Tzu. So, we start things, and also Einstein said, let's see if I can find that for you. Sorry, guys, lost my place. Ah, I'm sorry, it was Vincent Van Gogh. He said, in alignment with Lao Tzu said, what he said, great things are done by a series of small things brought together, and a journey of 1,000 miles must begin with a single step. So even though we have lots of problems ahead of us and the world is in a state, if each one of us takes our little steps and we do the little things, that's how big changes happen. And as we all know as Starseed, it's what we do in our personal lives. Little self-improvements and awakenings and developments, personal developments as we grow, it's going to make a difference in the future. So no action on our part to improve ourselves or to do some good in this world is too small. It all adds up. So there it is. And speaking of that, I know that we like to send the violet light to those that are suffering across the planet, and be a good idea, good point in time to just think about that and take that kind of what seems to be a small action to help all of those right now across the planet who are really in having a tough time with earth changes and political upheavals and economic upheavals and all of that. So your actions matter. My actions matter. All of our actions together matter a lot. So there we have it. What a great time to be alive, and it's just a wonderful life, really. So from my heart to each one of you, I send you much love and look forward to next week when we have some more news. It's going to be a great show
except
tonight, Ariel.
Except it'll
be we'll be
March 27th.
Yeah. March 27th. Well, that won't be long.
Yeah.
The way time goes, it'll seem like tomorrow to me. Time goes so fast.
Yeah.
I think I'm always taking out the garbage. The days just always run together. Don't you all think that time is speeding up? Ariel, has anybody talked to you about that?
Everybody does.
Everybody. It's not just me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just
amazing. It's widespread.
It is amazing. So I just can't keep up with things. But anyway, when we come back together, we'll have some more news. In the meantime, I'll be scouring the headlines and see what's going on out there. I'll be ready for you when you get back.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Anastasia, for a great job with the Starseed News once again. And now I am going to get Lavendar's mic open and our guest Lightstar. Just let me get to that on the switchboard here. Okay. Are you there, Lightstar?
I am here.
Excellent. Lavendar?
I'm here.
Okay, take it away, girls.
Well, Lightstar, I love this deck of cards that you sent me called Magical Dimensions. But before we start talking about the cards, I'd like for you to share with our listening audience a little bit about yourself and if you have any ET experiences or celestial experiences that you want to share with our audience, they would love to hear it. You know, we have a very awake audience. So
yes.
Say that will shock anyone.
That's what I love about you guys. That's what I love about you guys. You guys are just the best radio program for this. So, so grateful to be here. Thank you so much for having me on. And yes, I am a, I'd basically say I'm a visual attunement artist and celestial channel. And I'm also a Starseed ambassador. And I do a lot of different things out there, multidimensionally speaking. And I've really immersed myself in my artwork as well as bringing forth divine light codes and light languages that have been coming out really constantly for the last many, many years, but especially the last 8-9 years. And so I've been doing a lot of work with clients and also in Soul Origins. So I bring forth a lot of, you know, where people are originated from, whether it be the starseed, angelic, or elemental realms. And I work in pretty much all of those different types of realms. And just bringing forth a lot of great stuff to help people on their life purpose, especially for people to get going on their path. There's blocks or challenges along the way, and I help them to dissolve those and to move forward, mostly without fear, because that's usually what stops people. So that's basically what I do and what I've been doing for the past 10 years, even though I did come from a very corporate background. So this is not something I've always done since I was young, but it really shifted and changed into this kind of work, as most of us do when we become awakened. So now I'm just really on the path to help other people with this and to bring forth whatever I can in, by way of my light language transmissions and different art processes and so many different ways that I just help people to activate them and to get them on their path.
Let me ask you, were you born this way? Did it come to you later? Or was there a date and time that you can look back on and say, aha, everything just kind of stepped in my galactic body all at once?
Well, you know, I would say, I know that I was always intuitive. Well, I shouldn't say I didn't always know that I was intuitive. I was intuitive, but I didn't know it when I was younger. So I wasn't having a lot of support from family in terms of them not knowing any of this either, so you can't really blame them. Most of our parents didn't know, and so, you know, we all grow up just kind of figuring it out for ourselves, but I do know that I had a few different experiences when I was about 9 years old. I had, I was feeling very, very sensitive as a child, really strong empath, but again, not knowing it, so you get overwhelmed when you don't know these things as a child. And so the overwhelm was happening, but I remember one time my mom took me to a place that she was going to, and it was like a guru that she was going to be seeing. And so I was the only child there. There was just all adults. But I remember that incident where this guru kept saying these chants over and over again. I didn't know what he was saying. I'm just 9 years old sitting there. But I do remember feeling afterwards some type of shift happened, because I remembered one of the chants that he said over, like, you know, he must have said 20 different chants, but this one stuck in my head. And afterwards, we were walking out in the parking lot, and I turned to my mom and I said, it was blue. And she said, what was blue? I said, the color around him was blue. And I remembered this phrase or a chant that he said, even to this day, and I didn't even know what it meant, but I just kept it stuck in my head. And after that, I feel like some of the auras started to come forth. So there must have been something that shifted in that moment that helped to kind of awaken. But generally speaking, I was really not aware of being an intuitive empath until I was in my late maybe 20s into 30s. So it was really later in life that things started to become more clear as to why I felt everything so intensely and why I felt like overwhelmed when I was around other people, and that I probably took on some of their energies, my family as well, and friends. Just really, really sensitive, but that did come out later in life, not so much too much in the early phases of just, you know, now I look back on it and I say, wow, you know, I was really having these experiences, but I didn't know what they were. I didn't have anybody to talk to them about. I'm sure people can relate to this when you kind of grow up and you just have to stuff it all because you're not really sure what to do with it all. So that's what I would say about, you know, the early life. But that one incident I can recall did help to open up some of the gifts. But once they started to open up a little, I got scared of them. I didn't know what they meant. And so I sort of closed the door again. thus really not moving too much into that realm until later when I was ready for the awakening process to happen.
Lavendar, we can't hear you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was just talking and I realized I wasn't even on. Okay, sorry. I think, Lightstar, that what you've just described is what a lot of us have gone through. It's, you know, the awakening, and then we have to go back to sleep, and then we're out with our parents and our peers and going to school, and we're different, but we don't want to tell people how different we are because we want to be accepted. You know, the acceptance that hits us on this planet is extremely strong. But then after a while, I discovered that acceptance was not the thing that I thought it was. And once I discovered that I don't have to be accepted by anyone, then I started finding my true power. Did that happen for you?
Yeah, I agree with that because I think it takes a certain amount of courage and a certain amount of confidence to get to that level to say, you know, it doesn't really matter what anybody else thinks. I'm just going to do what is coming forth and what I'm intuitively feeling, and I'm going to start accepting what is coming forth. Now, I know that, you know, especially someone that is doing and speaking light language, it's very challenging in the very beginning to feel okay about that. You know, it's not like you're just getting out there and seeing a process or something that happened to you. This is you stepping out on a limb, potentially really having people look at you and going, oh my God, she's crazy. What is that? So it really is, I have a lot of respect for people, especially that are stepping into the field of speaking light language, because I know what it takes. And I know that the courage that has to come forth in order to come out with this, knowing that it is, this is definitely something that's awakening a lot of people on the planet right now. Not just the language is awakening for people and activating, but for people starting to speak their own languages. It's just becoming, I get so many people I know that I activate and that are now doing it themselves. So it does take a lot of courage and a lot of faith and trust and all of that in yourself, as well as your guides, your higher self, to really step forward into this arena.
I, too, am finding that a lot of light language is showing up in a lot of different places. And you said, out on a limb. Well, I think it's beyond the limb, okay?
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
I wanted to ask you, what state do you live in? Are you in Arizona?
Yeah, I'm in Sedona, Arizona.
I thought so, because when I was looking at the cards, I kept seeing a lot of things that I knew were in Sedona on these cards.
Yes, yes, there is definitely.
You've got to be living in Arizona or Sedona.
Yes.
These cards are just living. Absolutely beautiful. How long did it take you to put them together? And who was the artist?
I'm the artist.
You're the artist.
Yeah, I'm the artist, the author, the creator, the whole kit and caboodle. It's all me. Well, I shouldn't say take credit for it because it's actually my guides and the energies coming through. But it is all my art. So that's the first half of my art. So I think some of the people that might be seeing the pictures that I've that are on your Blog Talk Radio, those are some of my newer art work. So it's not in the deck, but that will be in a second deck eventually. So those are bringing through a lot of the star codes and star images as well. So yeah, this is all my own artwork. This took a long time. You figure I had to come up with at least 44 images, but I just kept, I knew that my art was always going to be turned into an oracle deck, because as I was creating my artwork, I felt that this needs to be in an oracle deck. So that was always the premise. It just took several years to come out with enough to put into the deck. And it is truly a magical deck, and people are loving it. So I'm really glad that you like it as well.
It is awesome. I have people sending me cards quite often, but I don't think I've ever seen anything as so strong and powerful as these cards.
Yeah, I think that the energy is what I've been getting the most comments on about them, is that there's something about them that's like just the energy of it. And that's one of the things that as I was channeling this whole project, basically, they were showing me, my guides and the angels, the star friends and the elementals that were all a part of this, really want to activate people in, you know, while they're having it in their hands. So I have created it as, yes, you can use them as oracle cards, but you can also use these as activators. So I have a whole booklet that's the guidebook, a full-color guidebook. It's actually beautiful. And that actually shows ways to use the cards themselves as activators so that you can use them on altar spaces. And there are so many different other uses than just that. You know, there's, you can put them under your pillow at night, put them in your car, put them on your window, your bathroom mirror. I have a lady that actually taped, she took out all of the seven chakra cards in the deck, and she taped them to the underside of a massage table. And that way, when people are laying on the table, the energy goes up through their chakras in the respective places. And so there's many, many different ways that people are using this deck. But that is one of the things that they wanted to bring, is to help people to, with their own intuition, to strengthen it, and also to energize and activate people to bring them closer together with the star family, to the angelics, and to the elemental realm. Because that's generally the three that I'm most active with, and that's what this deck is really doing for people. It's amazing.
One of the things that I really like about this particular deck of cards is the way that you had the box designed to hold
it
so that it's sturdy. And, you know, a lot of people get cards and they don't have a place to put them, or they you know, fall out, or, you know, it's hard sometimes to keep all your cards together. But the way you have this designed, once you're through with them, they have the rightful place to go back to. And then I noticed this beautiful image at the top of the of the box that cleanses the cards.
Yeah, it's a very, that was one of my, I had to have that in this deck. But yes, the box is like a magical keepsake box. It's beautiful in itself. And the symbol does keep it. I know that sometimes people take out their cards and they like to put them in a velvet bag. So, yeah, you can still do that. But if you want to keep them in the box, this actually, the symbol, it's a star code symbol that does keep the energies clear. So it doesn't, you know, sometimes you forget to, like, oh, I didn't cleanse the deck or something like that. You don't have to worry about it. It's already clear. So that's what I wanted, that high vibrational, high frequency energy in this deck. And that's what really is the thing, the drive here, is just to bring people to a higher level, to a higher frequency, and to amongst all the other things. So, yeah, I love the deck. The publisher did a great job of this with unique, like I said, the guidebook, all full color. And I was very, very pleased with the way it turned out.
How many years did it take you to put this together?
Probably at least three, maybe four. Sometimes when you're working with my first deck that I did publish myself, that deck was out for at least about a year. And then it got picked up by a publisher who wanted to, you know, take it on, and they revised it to where it's got like the really nice quality to it and the finish and all of that. So that takes another year for it to actually come from their hands to, you know, out to the public again. So it's quite a long process for to go through the traditional publishers. But in the end, they create a very beautiful deck quality-wise, and they were really great about not changing any of my artwork or, you know, taking it and just doing what they want with it. They really stuck to the artwork, and they were really great to work with too. So very happy about it. And I'm just happy because I want it to get out to the world so that people can experience it.
Absolutely. Now, do you do classes there in Sedona? Do you have a place where you do circles? Or tell us more about how people can find you when they come to Sedona.
Well, yes, I am. I don't have a classes per se that we do here. I do private sessions if people are coming into town, but primarily my work is done mostly through Skype and online and all throughout internationally speaking. So people can actually come to have session work with me from anywhere in the world. But if they are coming through town, I do see people in person as well. And through the many different ways that I have of offering services, because I have a huge array of services that I offer for, through the Oracle readings as well as my interdimensional starseed alignment sessions, which are really focused and targeted on people's soul origins, blocks and challenges, and upgrades. And so they can do any of these types of things. Celestial channeling I do through automatic writing, so that can be through anywhere. So, and I have a whole host of light language activations so that I can, I have a light language foundations audio class that I actually do. It's all audio, so people can download it and use that in the privacy of your own home. And then I have a lot of other types of activation through my artwork. One in particular where I'm actually seeing the light codes and the frequencies and energies that are around a person as like a download, but they haven't gotten the energy package has not quite gotten into their energy yet. And I'm actually drawing this code, what's in their field. And then by nature of the art itself, when they look at it, it starts to open up the package and get the download. So it's kind of a unique energy signature light code art that I create, as well as doing visionary art portraits for people and life path activations, all different types of things. So
let's talk about that for a moment. You said you do portraits for people. Do you like see them from another lifetime, or do you see their guides, or how does that work?
Well, the portraits are very interesting. There's many different ways that I can do it, but one way is that someone can actually send me a photograph of them, like a picture of them, high resolution, and I will actually tune into their energy, and I will create using that image, or if they would like it to, or I can just go with whatever, but I will tune in and create them, like literally their portrait as either a star being, or could be an elemental, or could be in the angelic realms, or some kind of mystical, magical, priestess or goddess or whatever comes, and then I will create that in an image for them to utilize, either by, they could use that on their websites for, if I know it's going to be a header, like for Facebook and social media, and I can do it for that, or just a picture that they want to have and then create it, larger and put it on their wall. And so that's one way that I create the portraits. And then I'm also creating another type of, it's not really a portrait, but it's more their life path code activation. So that, again, I'm drawing several different scenes in that energy where, and that does include a lot of light language codes and a lot of light language scripts or symbols, things that are coming forth to help them specifically for their life path. So I even include the numerology in that. So I'll calculate what their birth numerology life path is, and I embed it subtly into the image. So it's really activating just for them. I love doing those are really fun. Just really activating
that
people in different ways.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that people will go on your website and see all the different things that you have to offer. So tell us some news from Sedona. Is there anything new and exciting that we need to know about the area where you're living?
Yeah, one thing that I will say about Sedona, and I've been here for about 9 years, so I've kind of, which is actually a long time for Sedona people. There's a lot of transient, coming and going here always, but for being here for 9 years, it's actually a pretty long time considering. And so I've been seeing lately there is an influx of people moving here, and that happens all the time, yes, but I'm seeing a lot of people in the last, especially the last year, that people are actually coming to move here and to, place down roots. And they seem to be, I'm not saying every single person, that's coming here is like this, but I do feel there's an influx of the energies, frequencies that people are bringing that are high-level frequencies, and they are doing high-level work. Lots of star seeds are always drawn to Sedona for obvious reasons, but I'm definitely seeing an increase in people moving here more than I have before. You know, this is one of the early crystal cities, the vortexes on the planet. And so this is a draw for people, a natural draw for people. But I'm feeling there's people getting really activated to do their work. And that's one of the things Sedona does for you here, is to kind of push you if you're not doing your work yet, your true work, you know, your soul work. Or getting drawn here to be helping you to activate to do that. So that's what I'm seeing, is an influx of people settling here.
I know that when I was in that area, I had a house up in Flagstaff for a couple of years. And during that period of time, I came down to, what's that place just north of Sedona? Oh, goodness.
Cottonwood? About
3 or 4 miles north, and I got a little cabin, and I stayed there 3 months. And I noticed when I would go into town, the type of people that were coming there and living there, and the ones that would come and get their information, once they got their information or what they needed, then they no longer mm-hmm. could stay there. It's like something just would run them right out of town.
Yeah, or they get the inkling, and they get the note, they get the download that they're supposed to now take their gifts and whatever they learned here and take it out into the world. So that actually was happening to myself as well at one point, deciding whether I was going to stay here or not. When I actually really asked guides and my, I almost asked Sedona, like in general, it was like a feeling of, you know, I just finished a university. You know, I just finished 4-year university here, because this is the hardest university on the planet, or one of them, one of the hardest universities on the planet. When you come to Sedona, you're entrenched in working on yourself. And so it's like I finished the 4 years. Now I ask Sedona, can I stay? Can I teach? You know, am I allowed to be like a teacher now? Can I be a professor? And so there was a while where I wasn't sure that Sedona itself was going to let me do that, but they ended up where, you know, for the moment anyways, it did end up passing, and I'm still here. So I guess the answer was yes. So sometimes it is a question mark of whether you want to stay, whether your energy is ready to stay, or whether you're better suited to move on and take your gifts out to the world elsewhere, because there's a lot of density everywhere on the planet, and we need people that are star seeds as well to be in all places, not just gathered in one congregational awesome place, but, you know, we need people that are everywhere to hold down the energy of the earth and Gaia and all of that.
You know, there's a place in Utah, Moab, Utah, has a similar landscape like Sedona, but people haven't really found it yet.
I love Moab.
It's real pristine, and no one's shown up there to make it a power place. Have you been to Moab?
Well, now that you just said it, now everyone's going to go move there.
Okay. Yeah. So more about some of your experiences that you've had that you would be willing to share with us about your celestial contacts or things that, you know, would interest our audience.
Well, I think that this has really been fascinating to me, is that especially what this has to do with creating my art as well. My artwork gets created in so many different ways, but a lot of it is through dream time, through and also in waking state visions. But when I was creating, like, for instance, I'd have a concept of what I was going to create in my art, and I'd move along. And then I'd have either a dream or an actual vision of a being, a star being, or in one of the dimensions that would sort of come in and almost sideswipe that project that I was doing in a way to say, nope, I'm next. So I was like, I was having these people just step in front of the line, and that happened many different times. For instance, one time I had a dream very specifically about these beings that were like mermaids. Okay, so they were like the mer people. And I wasn't really that into like mermaids in my life. I mean, I think the concept is awesome and beautiful, but I didn't really, it wasn't that big of a deal for me. But this dream was very, very significant. And these mermaids actually gave me a mermaid name in my dream. And I woke up and I was like, wow, that's amazing. And then I thought, okay, that's a cool dream. What is beautiful. And yet the next few days, I kept running into people that would tell me something about a mermaid or some kind of mermaid energy that was just in my face, like, so I couldn't deny it. And I finally looked at that and I said, oh, they want me to create them. They want me to create, you know, their portrait, basically. So these are, because I'm not only doing portraits for people that are in 3D, I'm doing portraits for all the different beings that come to me in dream state or when they start to realize, hey, you know, she's down there doing this, and they start stepping in line, and then some of them come to the front of the line. So in that case, I had to sort of stop what I was doing and then start to work on the merpeople images. And so that's happened to me several times in dream time, as well as when I was doing, like, for instance, the Andromedans came in really strong when I was creating my Andromeda healing matrix image. And not only did they, you know, come and appear to me, like, physically, where I could actually energetically also, but they were activating me and providing me with healing tones. So I was already speaking the Andromeda language, but as I was creating the actual image, I was also receiving the Andromedan tone. So there's things that have come in just from my own self, from creating the artwork, but also interconnecting, intercommunicating with these beings. And these are real beings. These are real places. These are real beings. These are real energies. And it comes, like I said, in the dream time, but also waking state. And I just had a really, really strong one that I just finished my most recent picture, which is it's called Valion, the Wisdom Keeper, and it's actually, it was dragon energy. Now I wasn't really, I have loved dragons. I always like dragons, but this was very, very strong, and this dragon energy came to me in a waking state, conscious waking state, told me his name, what he was, what order he came from, why he was coming, why he was there, and this turned into a visual art piece as well. It's very powerful for people who really like dragons. It's really strong and yet very powerful. And also provided me with dragon language, which I had not experienced before either. So,
how many different languages have you come across?
Well, so far I mean, it's kind of lost track, but I know it's about 20, so maybe a little bit over 20, because I have about six of them-ish where they're still unidentified, even for myself. But I've identified at least a good, you know, good like 20, or I'd say probably about 17, that I know where they're coming from. I've taken the time to, you know, integrate all of them. Because I think I had said this before on one of the other meetings that I was on a couple years ago, where it's like there's so many of them coming at once for me that I had to take a few years of integration time just to say, okay, I need to integrate because I want to know where they're coming from. I want to know what the stream is. I want to, you know, get this clear. Not that I have to know everything, but just that I needed to feel better about what I was bringing forth. And so that's where I've been on this process of, I know there's more because I've finally opened up the door at least over a year ago to just say, okay, I've integrated enough. Now I'm ready for some more. And then here they come. So they were just kind of waiting to come in until I was ready. So yeah, it's quite the process, to be honest. It's pretty amazing. Speaking these languages and bringing them forth and seeing how they're activating people is just amazing.
Well, the card number 28, Magical Realms, that girl that's wearing that outfit, I got to have an outfit like that. I love this card. She is really a go-getter. And the way that you have put in each of the cards different codes at different levels, it's like when I look at some of these cards, I know that there's an elemental in there, there's a fairy in there, then there's an ET over here, and then there's a number over here. It's like so many codes jump out at different levels that you're looking at the card.
Yeah. Yeah, this deck is very multifaceted and multidimensional in nature, really. There's a lot, even on the cards themselves, don't even have the full art piece, because most of the time I had to crop off some of the actual art. So if you go to my website, you actually could see the full, like, image where it's not cropped off. And I'm starting to change that on my next deck so that the images don't crop off. But basically, there is so much detail in a lot of the images that it is, when you see it and then your eye goes to something else, it activates you. Your eye goes to something else, it activates.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very enthralled with the way that you have coded. These are definitely galactically inspired. And it comes from
the
realms. You know, I see the angelic in the galactic realm, the elemental realm, and it's like you encompass the crystal realm, the stone people, the tree people.
I was
been able to put it all together. I just think this is very, very unique and magical.
That's really what I wanted to do, was to not have just like an elven deck or just a fairy deck or just an angel deck. There's nothing wrong with that, but I just felt like I wanted more. I wanted people to experience more, and so I really wanted to just not limit it to those realms, but just bring as much of it as I could. I think there's more probably from the elemental realms or from those realms here in this deck, just because the nature of my art started to change, and then, you know, by the time I've already finished this deck. So that's why in the future my next deck will be including all the star people and the star code. So it'll be a little more painted a little more towards the start, but I still want to have, you know, some of the other realms in there as well.
Do you also have these cards as posters? Can people order them to frame?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You can order any of these images online, and I have them, generally speaking, as photographic paper that people could just buy photos of them, or they can buy them mounted to Gator Board, or the high-end ones are the metal prints that I have that are absolutely beautiful, but they're printed on an aluminum metal, so they have a really nice luminescent kind of look to it. It's really like this rich, very saturated color, very depth and luminous looking. And so you can get them all on those. And I also have them on fleece blankets, believe it or not. You can get like the big, huge, like 60 by 80 or 50 by 60 fleece blanket of one of these. And wrap yourself in it. Yeah, I have them. It's really great because you cannot just use it for blankets, but they can be used for massage table covers. They're so soft. It's like velvet material, so it's really soft, but you can use them you could put it on your wall, your massage table, the couch covers, bed spreads, you name it, like lots of different uses. So I have many different ways of the images that people can get, in whatever, if they're drawn to one, or, you know, they can look at that on my website as well.
One of the cards that really captured my eye was the one, number 16, Forgiveness, Redemption, Rebirth, and Regeneration, and it's a picture of a trunk and a woman's face at the top, and at the bottom looks like there's an elemental fairy-looking creature that just... Wow. I mean, I looked at this and said, I would like to know what was happening to you the day you painted this.
Yes. That was an interesting image because it's representative of Gaia, of Mother, you know, Mother Earth, when we're feeling crappy and when we feel like we are just despondent and can't go on, or we've failed, you know, that feeling of I can't do it, or I didn't do it right, or, you know, I suck, or whatever people are feeling. And yet that going into Mother Earth, like that beautiful womb space of having Mother Gaia just soul, giving you solace and regenerating you and making you know and helping you saying you know there's no need to feel like that and to forgive yourself as well. So it's a, that's a really powerful rejuvenator as well as healer, that particular card.
Yeah. Well, you just did an absolute fantastic job, and I hope that you're able to get these out to bookstores and to take them to where the conferences are. And, yeah, everybody needs to see these cards. This is going to be a way for a lot of people to wake up and be activated. If people are awake, this will just upgrade them. If you know, if they're asleep, they'll really get it quick.
Yeah, it's really true, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to go as well to the traditional publisher, because they have ways of getting it out to the bookstores, and then booksellers can buy them directly, so people can get them anywhere. I mean, yes, you can get them on my website, and I prefer that people do, just because it's helpful for me to support me, but people in international can also buy it through me, but they can also, if they're booksellers, internationally speaking, they can just go to their book distributors that they normally buy through, and they can get them at wholesale prices. So that is another way of getting it out there to people who want to actually sell the deck themselves.
I'm going to take this deck to the Starseed Quest next week to Arkansas. Absolutely.
Awesome.
I will be sharing it with our group.
That's great.
I think that's a good deck to do that. So I'm looking at the time, so I'm seeing that I need to pass you over to my co-host, Ariel, and she has a switchboard, and maybe some people would like to call in and talk to you if you're available.
Okay, absolutely. Thank you so much, Lavender.
Thank you, honey. And anytime you want to come on to announce anything or, always contact me and let me know if there's something special you want to say to our star seeds. You always have an invitation to come on anytime you want.
Aww, thank you. That is so sweet. Well, I'm honored.
Back to you, Ariel.
Okay. Well, I have not seen all of the cards, but the ones that I had samples of, they are absolutely gorgeous. I have to agree. But so let me just let people know that if they want to ask you a question, if they're already on the switchboard, then they just need to press 1 so that we know they want to come on the air. And if you're listening on the computer, then just pick up the phone and dial 917-889-8292. And then once you're in, press 1, and we'll get that squared away. But in the meantime, I'm just really wanting to hear some samples of light languages, because when I've heard you do that before, it was so powerful. It really stuck with me. So,
awesome. Well, I would love to. Love to do that. I suppose I should probably just give a slight bit of before I actually do a language, just because I like to tell people in case someone's not familiar with it or they don't know. Most of the people I'm sure that are listening to your show are familiar with light language by now. But just in case someone isn't familiar with it, we want to just say light language is an energy language. And so it's really to be felt, to be interpreted, if you will, from more of a heart space rather than a mind and analytical space. So we don't want to analyze from the mind because you won't understand it that way. And it really is more of, for me, when I do these languages, I'm actually bringing through and transmitting different types of energy codes. And so they go and they reverberate through my body, and they will then go out to whoever, is picking it up or whoever's listening. And it's different for everyone. So sometimes when I speak a few different languages, there will be different responses from the same language. I mean, I could have 4 people sitting in front of me speak 1 language, and all 4 people will get something different from it, and they will interpret it differently. They will feel it differently. But one person may not feel anything with that language, but then the next one they're just really activated by. So it's very unique and individual, even when it's in a group setting like this, where I'm, you know, just speaking to the masses in that way, it's still going to be individual on how someone's receiving it. So I just wanted to set that up a little bit before we,
okay,
you know, move into them. So the first thing I was feeling I want to bring forth is Liren energy. And the Liren energy that I would like to bring through is definitely related to the feline, more on the feline level of things. So this is going to be all of you Liren felines that connect with that energy. There's a lot of Lirens here. And so this one is really going to be, usually when I bring through Liren, it's just this connection to home and connection to this beautiful energy. So I just want people to experience that, experience whatever they feel. So everybody just kind of where you're at, just kind of close your eyes and just kind of listen, and I'll just go. Rotornar zare kiteri harama soro kurar zare arnar uzuria mati ibi arakiter zare urnoro varne gize ran tiri arnake rutu soro urnari Erna rasarangiri rotorna Tarian zuruku turamara zeria Sararari karna terna Veriarna gari zuruku rumar Parne karri runteri renar. Everybody kind of take a deep breath in on that one and just experience whatever your body wants to feel or experience, shift or change, enlighten, deepen. And that one really anchors a lot of energy coming forth too for people really wanting to connect to home. There's a lot of starseeds that feel lost, feel alone, feel separate. That's changing, but yet I feel also the Liren energy is pulling people together and also bringing that sense of, you know, Lirens lost their home because the planet got destroyed. And so there's an innateness in Lirens that feel very disconnected and always trying to find their home, always trying to find their people, and feeling very sometimes alone. That this energy helps to kind of reconnect and reestablish a plug, a network, if you will.
It's beautiful.
Okay, so I guess I'm just going to go into the next one here that I'm feeling energetically. Now, this one's going to be a little bit stronger energy because I'm feeling like this is the Syrian. And Syrian energy comes through very assertively, but I also feel like it wants to come through and activate people specifically to bring forth a stronger assertiveness. That's the best way I can really describe it. So here we go with this one. Yak alak, shintik hal, zan dalek. Viniasta Beknesel San Alekik El Astal Shalik Van Astek Shankilak Gulstolak and Bek Ishtarhal Kaliek Su Kul Lak Enestakel Bashi Shante Akilek San Elek Ashitek Vuson Alakesh Shanti akal mistuku fa shek ma laekem bakielek nak alash sol akal akesh shal akal ish fokit hal alek nast umash shakeli kaleme alakal futali akal
Talehi Kalam. And again, I'd like people just to take a nice deep breath in with that. And just breathe in that strong, assertive energy, also assisting your body. This goes into also the DNA to shift, to activate, to awaken. And I also want to bring forth Arcturian. Arcturian energy is when it comes through, it's usually coming through to help with clearing the mind of the mental chatter. You know, most of us have this issue with mental chatter, and that just keeps going, our mind keeps spinning around. And so we want to bring forth this Arcturian energy because they help to clear and get us back into the heart, but also to clear the mind so that it's focused. They also help with intuition as well, to getting that clear, you know, third eye really open and clear. Tiri stiria kan talesten te ti ti kanasta. Soon torame she song some tari so. The tori she konan ti romasa e turuni tad. Tiri su un terete. Kari ti tiri ente o kutishan tu sonamashi. Say tun tari dio son toto kon te. Tu 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 shine eto rumate. Kuye tu 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 yang tolare so tu konamana. Oh sh. Sure, allowing your mind to be sort of clear, just scatter. You should see all the scattery energy just kind of floating away as we drop down further deeper into our higher heart as well as the heart. Yeah, they have really beautiful energy coming through as well, to just clear the air and clear people's third eyes as well. I think that's it for the moment, unless you want me to continue doing some more.
Well, are the Pleiadians
oh, yeah, of course.
Groups you that you work with?
Yeah, the Pleiadian energy, of course, you guys are all connected to Pleiadian, so let's do that. Okay, let me bring through. So obviously, this is definitely going to be heart-oriented and very connected to heart energy and to loving energies, calming and soothing energies as well. Vinay hafali, shula kane hisehami, vensla lahi nekili aso humashife, sohura kari amale sahani kaishuma, seola nilea sulgavia, sorarea salehuma, viana amse, Salia kahin, talia sohumali, searanaiko, sumashia yananai, suyinirian, kuranumali ekula shania kashehula, then sohali kainehi kuhani, sohumashe lehina maesoe, deso bashianai, kaile, so malaite lashine kele asam. Su maene okola kale lasa nania shohulam. Vesuvai Gaileana Lahime Sumashaide Daisa Solare. Take a nice deep breath in with that. There's a lot of emotions coming here with that. And I also feel like this is going out for certain people that may be listening to this that are having some perhaps pain, feeling emotional pain, wanting to clear and just cleanse. Because I feel like there was a lot of assistance coming forth for people that are in pain in that way. And so we wanted to just bless you and energize and rejuvenate you with that loving energy from the Pleiades.
Oh, that was beautiful. There's something so soothing about that.
Yeah. That one, I mean, I got tears with that one. So that happens quite often with the Pleiades. They come in and produce the emotion. They bring us really dropping you down into, I always think of it as though the Pleiades are kind of like the heart energy. Sometimes the Arcturians go more into the higher hearts, but the Pleiades are just all heart. And so the energy comes forth very loving, very soothing, and very calming because they know that it's dense down here. And we have to go through the muck and through the density here that is difficult for Starborn because we're used to the higher dimensions and we're used to being in places that aren't so heavy. And so they understand that very well. They've traversed a lot of that in their own worlds. And so they're here to help us with that, to remember who we are and to remember to go into the heart and to just breathe. And it's okay. And they are truly almost like the Mother Earth, you know, where they're that just falling into Mother Earth's arms when you're sad or need comfort or need support. And that's the Pleiadian energy to me. It just feels very loving and soothing and always supportive. And not that they all aren't. It's just you can see the differences with the energies. You know, some of them are much more aggressive or assertive, and then others are just more energetically soothing, and some are more stimulating or activating across the gamut. It's just they're all different.
Well, that is such a gift that you have. And I know it's going to be listened to over and over and over again, not only tonight but in the archives. But we did have a caller come in while you were doing that. So we are going to talk to Amber. Let me just get your mic open, dear. Okay, Amber, you are on the air with Lightstar. Go ahead with your question.
Hello, I had a question. How do you make your art? I also had some light language to share.
About how I make my art or how I create
it?
Basically, my artwork is digitally based, but I do hand draw a lot of the codes that I create. And so sometimes I will hand draw the codes, and then I will integrate them into the digital art itself. So I'm doing, so mine's not, you're not seeing a paintbrush as in on canvas. You're seeing more of a paintbrush for me is in the digital realm. So my main canvases or main are going to be used in like Photoshop and Illustrator, and then again some of them hand drawn. But I'm integrating the codes within them and the light language codes and the symbols that come through are all hand drawn or hand created and then incorporated into the digital art.
Oh, I love that. That's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for asking.
No problem. I have a light language I've been speaking since I was 10, and one of my guides wanted to share it.
Well, absolutely.
They're dimensionals.
Mm-hmm.
And they're called Soma. And my brother, Rykian, wanted to share it, too.
Okay. Go ahead.
Gundaja vogoncha shea tongkaja dunkoja quinta yanko shashiyata gandoro jaka nera.
That's it. Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. You know, it's interesting that what I wanted, you know, lots of people have languages and they bring them through in different ways. And Amber is a beautiful example of bringing through light language in song form, because a lot of people actually sing light language. Some people draw it, some people sing it, some people are hand signing it, some people are bringing it through art and through just language. All the many different facets of ways to bring forth light language and these codes. So I want to honor you for bringing that forth again as in song form. It was really beautiful. Thank you.
It's
wonderful.
The dream of the world and the undeniable essence that we are saturated.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, Amber, you keep up the good work and keep going forward with your gifts. And thanks so much for calling in.
Okay. Thank you, Amber.
Okay.
Sweet.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's funny. This is why I said there's a lot of people opening up to light language in many different ways, and the young people are starting to really come forth with it too, because it's a natural part of who they are. And love that.
Yeah, that's an interesting point that it because I know someone who does the symbols. I mean, she's written a few books, and it's the light language symbols, and
mm-hmm.
and like you, and you speaking it, Amber singing it. You drawing it. I mean, there are so many different mediums, I guess, or media.
Yes.
That you can that can be a vehicle for this. So it's not it's not as limited as someone might think.
Absolutely.
So,
really, just reminded me of a person that emailed me earlier, and she said she was going to be listening to the show, but she asked a question. So I want to answer her question, because she actually just emailed me the question. And
okay.
So her name was Rita, and she asked the question of what's the difference between light language and what's called speaking in tongues. So she wanted to know the differences. And so thank you for asking that question, Rita, for, listening. But I want to give my just, take on it here, is that it is actually very much the same in terms of the energy that's coming forth. There's actually a study that was done at Harvard University that actually was, they were tracking, and they wanted to actually take people that were speaking in tongues, which is typically known in the more Christian faith, but they actually hooked them up to electrodes in their minds and their heads so that they could monitor what was happening when they were speaking the actual speaking in tongues. And so what they found, and then they did it where people were just speaking like prayer, just language and prayer, or languages that we know that we can recognize here. And what would happen is the languages they were speaking here or just in prayer, they would light up the part of the brain that's the language part of the brain, would light up because that's where you're speaking language. Well, when people were speaking in tongues, there was a part of the brain that language part of the brain did not light up, which means it was not coming from that part of the actual, that lobe of the brain, and it was coming from elsewhere. And so this is indicative of telling us that this is beyond, this is really not coming from our language centers. So, and same with light language in that way, that we're speaking this kind of language to God, if you will, because that's what the speaking in tongues is, really a language of the soul, language straight to Creator, to God, to Source, where it's your language. And I very much attribute that to the same as what I call the mother tongue in light language. Light language mother tongue means everyone. This is not just like I'm going to say, people say thank you for your gift that you have, but you know what? Everyone has this. not everybody might speak 20 different languages like me, but that's because I have a different role in the multidimensional realm and that I'm actually using that. But everybody has what I call a mother tongue, which means you're able to speak that language that's directly flowing, the most natural, that comes right from Creator Source, right from God, and is usually the one that's either, not always is your soul origins language, but it is typically the one that you're most comfortable speaking. So there's a very strong direct correlation between this speaking in tongues and light language. I'd say the only differences are going to be when, you know, I'm speaking and I know it's coming from Arcturian, or I know it's coming from Arcturus, or I know it's coming from the Pleiades, or I know it's coming from Sirian, or coming from Phyla, or coming, you know, I've identified these where that is actually specific languages of the star beings. But then there's other realms, you know, where I know it's a dragon language, or I know it's an elven or an angelic language. So those are kind of a little bit different than just the speaking in tongues. So I wanted to just hopefully clarify that question, because it's a really good one, and I've gotten it before as well. So I think that your listeners might be interested in hearing the answer that I have for that.
Well, that's a really good explanation, and it's a very good explanation. I was just looking at the switchboard here, and we have another caller with a question. And this is Leticia. So let me get your mic open. Hello, Leticia. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm
hey.
Doing good. Thank you very much.
So you have a question for Lightstar?
Yeah. Well, I
go ahead.
I was to watch you listen to in your show. And so my question would be, because I haven't had a chance to look on your website to see when you're traveling or when you do your tours or conferences and workshops and things like that, and if you would probably maybe in the future have Oklahoma on your list.
Oklahoma, what an awesome place for all this. I love it when people come out of the woodworks from places that are not typical where you would think people are open. So I think it's wonderful. Thank you for asking that, Leticia, because you're one of these people that I feel is like you're anchoring and holding down the space, the anchoring the energy of that location for all of this open energy to come forth. So I really want to honor you for being there, first of all. And yes, I don't do a lot. I mean, right now I'm actually not traveling a whole lot. We do have things here in Sedona, but I really want to be opening up more on, like I said, like radio and programs that people can tune into the internet, so that you don't have to travel so much or things like that. So I'm going to be looking at doing some things online a lot more, so that everybody mm-hmm. can access the energies and, you know, what I have to offer as well. Because right now we only have something in Sedona. That's the end of this month, the Sedona Cosmic Awakening, which is an event up here in Sedona. So if you'd like to come to Sedona in April, that's 20th or 21st.
Okay,
but I will definitely keep it in mind to come out to Oklahoma.
Okay.
That's so great. And we'll look forward to seeing you very soon, Leticia.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, well, you take care and hold down the fort there in Oklahoma. And, yeah. Thanks so much for calling in.
Okay, great.
Thank you
all. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Blessings.
Bye-bye.
Blessings, please.
Yeah, Leticia has come to Arkansas with us many times. She's
oh, that's
a very
awesome.
Special, wonderful soul.
Yeah, that's why I don't know who she is, but I can feel her energy, and I definitely feel like, you know, there's, like I said in the beginning, there's people that are holding down the energies in some of the more denser or not as awakened places. And that's, you know, needed. So I love
mm-hmm.
souls who are doing that. Really appreciated.
Yeah. And Leticia is very masterful with energy. So always a pleasure knowing that there's people like that on the planet as you as well. So that's all the questions we have for tonight. So I just want to recap a little bit here. Your two websites, there is lightstarcreations.com and starseedallianceinternational.com. The deck, the Magical Dimensions Oracle cards and activators, everything is linked on both of these sites, is it?
Primarily my lightstarcreations.com website is going to have all of my artwork, my sessions, the deck itself. The starseedallianceinternational.com website will have basically myself and my partner, Stan Lefebvre. That's the information we provided for Starseeds, and it would have the sessions we do together. But all of my light language activations, my artwork and everything else is primarily on the other website. And if people are interested in light language activation specifically, I actually have a page right off of the home page that they can click on that says light language, and it have all the different types of light language activations that I offer. So, as well as going to my session page where you can see all the sessions as well. So I've got little bits of everything on the Starseed Alliance site, but that is but most of my art sessions and everything is on my Light Star Creations website.
And teaching classes, you said that there's an event coming up at the end of April.
Yeah. It's it's called the Sedona Cosmic Awakening, and it is April 20th and 21st, and it is here in Sedona at the Creative Life Center. There's going to be not just myself, but there's a whole host of panel. There's Chief Golden Light Eagle, Clifford Mahudi. These are all speakers that are going to be at the event. Sandra Walters. There's going to be like at least I don't know exactly how many. Of speakers, but there's a lineup of speakers. Stan Lefebvre, my partner, and we're all kind of bringing our energies to this event. We had it last year, and it was sold out because Corey Good was one of the speakers, and he's not going to be speaking this year, but he did last year. And they have different people coming a lot of times each year, so that's really exciting, and that is going to be here in Sedona. I just actually did do a light language roundtable that Tolik of the Andromeda Council just put out, and that is on his website. So if people want to hear other people, and we just had a conversation. It was like a roundtable conversation about light language, and that's on his YouTube channel. So again, people can go listen to that. But yeah, I'm trying to put out, I think, more of the energy so that everyone in the world can access it. Because it is tough for a lot of people to travel. And so that's why I would like to put out more that's available on the Internet.
Well, right. Yeah, because it's there available for globally.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And there are star seeds in every corner of the world, in every country. And on our forum, we've got one of those little revolver maps. And it mm-hmm. has like a little green dot for everybody that has ever, you know, visited the website, and it shows on the planet that's turning around. And wow,
yeah.
It's just really encouraging to see how many. I mean, we've even had people from Siberia, and there's no way.
Oh wow.
There's no way
yeah.
somebody in Siberia can benefit from stuff that's happening in the U.S. Outside of the internet. So. I saw that. It's like, oh my
God.
Goodness,
that is
yeah.
pretty amazing, Siberia.
Yeah.
Well, you figure the internet has changed everything for us. You know, in so many ways. Some not so great, obviously.
Yeah.
But there's
yeah.
been.
I was going to say.
You obviously felt that one. So it definitely has affected both positively and negatively. But on the positive side of things. We've definitely seen the ability for people to access all this content that they wouldn't have been able to before because of limitations for being able to travel and the costs. And so that's why I'm not as eager to go traveling the country as I am putting out things on the internet so that people don't have to do all the traveling. Even though I think events are great, they are, because there's the personal connection and the personal meetings and things like that that are mm-hmm. important to have. But and we will probably put on some other events in the future that are for Starseed through we've done that before. We put on an event here that was actually for Starseed. And we found that a lot of people from outside of Sedona were actually coming. It's very interesting. So we would like to have some events and provide those for people, but then also not exclude other people, you know, from different areas of the country and outside of the country. So, yeah, it is pretty amazing that somebody in Siberia, you know, of all places, like, there's one person out there, right? Like, I'm all
yeah,
here.
Well, actually,
like,
there was more than one dot
several.
On that map
wow.
from Siberia. So, but
that's
really,
so awesome.
The internet has dissolved border lines,
mm-hmm.
you know, countries' boundaries. It's just, they've just dissolved them, you know, and you see pockets. It's like, wow, what's going on in Singapore? Tons of starseed. Singapore and the Philippines. We get a lot of people from that part, you know,
and
Australia.
We noticed a lot in here in Sedona coming from Japan because we have, there's so many people coming here that are from Japan. So there's a lot of people in that area. Really interesting, though, you know, we're in Canada, too. There's a lot of people that come here from Canada, but you're also very open-minded in that way. You get to see, like, the areas, the pockets of where people coming to Sedona generally means that, you know, there's open-mindedness in that location
mm-hmm.
because most people are coming here for healing and for opening
right.
and spiritual experience.
Right. Well, this has just been a wonderful, wonderful show. We're so grateful that you have been so generous with your gifts and talents and helping to activate other star seeds and bring them a little slice of home through your light languages. That's just wonderful.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I mean, anything I can do to bring us all together a little bit more, and yes, remind you of home, but then also to remind you that we're here now, you know, on Earth, and that we need to bring all of our energy, all of our gifts, and all of our selves, you know, our expression here on the planet. So that's what my biggest sort of message is to allow people to own who they are, to empower them, and to be of expression here on the planet, because this is why you came here. It's not
that's
to
right.
hide in the closet. It's to be who
that's
you
right.
are. And to let us see your light. We want to see all the gifts and talents that you have, not for competitive purposes, but just to, this betters everything. It betters the planet. It improves yourself, your connection to spirit, to other people here, to your brothers and sisters here on the planet, to everything. And so it's very important that all star seeds bring themselves here in the highest, you know, frequencies that you can possibly do on a daily basis. Bring the best you that you can. And that helps everyone.
That's very well said, and I think that's a good place to end.
Yeah.
So thank you so much
awesome.
For being with us, Lightstar, and we'll look forward to having you back on anytime you're ready.
Awesome. Well, thank you again. My pleasure to be here, and thank you for having me on.
And it's our pleasure as well. So we are going to wrap it up, and remember, the next two Tuesdays we will be in Arkansas. So we won't be back on the air until Tuesday, March 27th. So until that time, take care, hold the light, and live in gratitude. Until March 27th, y'all take care. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.